Insights.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Insights. I am Deeksha Saxena, and today we will be discussing West Asia crisis, evolving situation and risk for global energy security. And to decode and discuss this further, we are now joined by Professor Rahul Mishra, international affairs expert. Professor Mishra, welcome to Akashvani.
Thank you.
The crisis in West Asia has been ongoing for almost 55 days now. A fragile ceasefire was in place roughly after 40 days of the conflict. And the situation on ground is constantly and continuously evolving. At this point in time, the future of this conflict is not very clear. So, Professor Mishra, how do you see this conflict at this point in time? And in your opinion, where is this headed to?
Look, the problem in this conflict, the US-Israel and conflict with Iran, the fundamental problem is that there is no trust between the two parties. From the Iranian side, Iran is not really sure whether the commitments and promises that Trump administration has been making are reliable or not. The credibility of those promises is questionable, and there is a history to it. Just before the conflict started, Iranian and American sides were involved in a negotiation in Geneva, and in the middle of those negotiations, America started to attack Iran. Also, back in June 2025, similar things happened when Iran was in the middle of negotiation with countries, and it was attacked. So for Iran, whether this negotiation process is a part of an attempt to arrive at a peaceful solution to the dispute, or at least a ceasefire, or is it just an attempt to rearm the Americans and reposition them in the region in a way that they can more precisely target Iran, is something that Iran is not sure about, and therefore this apprehension on the Iranian side. They have taken a very hard position on this, and they are not willing to make any changes in their position. Now, they also feel that the overall ceasefire agreement does not include a vital component, and that is the comprehensive ceasefire in Lebanon, which is a vital element of Iranian security strategy in the region, and they want Lebanon to be included in it. From the American side, of course, there are flip-flops. They have been inconsistent, but American position so far, if we read what has been kind of offered to the intellectual community, it is clear that Americans want Iran to denuclearize, but there is nothing offered in return. America also wants, or Israel more precisely, wants Hezbollah to give up arms, and they want to kind of decapitate Hezbollah. But that also is without any quid pro quo. So in any negotiation, the fundamental condition is that both the parties have to be willing to give some and take some. It is not a situation where both the parties will be in a perfect situation of achieving their goals. So this compromise is something that is not being arrived at. American side, of course, Trump wants to signal to the world and showcase to the world that Iranians have been defeated diplomatically and militarily, but that is something that is, I would say, delusional, and considering the upper hand strategically and tactically Iran has achieved over past 55 days. So I believe America has to be more practical and go beyond this rhetoric and come to ground reality and try to find a solution to the problem rather than just being very propagandist about it. Now, this whole crisis has affected countries across the region, and countries are basically just running from pillar to post to manage their energy security interest and their energy security needs. And keeping that in mind, the American attempt to blockade or super blockade the Strait of Hormuz beyond the Iranian blockade is something that also does not go against the international law. So both the parties are at fault here.
Professor Mishra, as you mentioned that the countries across the globe are affected despite not being directly involved in the conflict. So as other countries are affected, so is India. But the government of India is ensuring that the citizens do not face any disruption. And it is also holding a daily inter-ministerial press briefing. So during the press briefing today, Ms. Sujata Sharma, Joint Secretary, Petroleum Ministry, informed that in the month of April, more than 140,000 tons of commercial LPGs have already been sold, mainly to dhabas, hotels and to labor-intensive industries like steel and automobiles. So before we progress any further, let's first listen to what she had to say.
जैसा कि आप जानते हैं कि वेस्ट एशिया क्राइसिस के चलते हमारे जो भी इंपोर्ट उस एरिया से उस रीजन से हो रहे थे दे आर अफेक्टेड. जैसा मैं आपको पहले बता चुकी हूँ, भारत सरकार का ये प्रयत्न रहा है कि देश के लोगों को कम से कम परेशानी का सामना करना पड़े. इसी क्रम में मैं आपको बताना चाहूंगी कि घरेलू एलपीजी सप्लाईज नॉर्मल है। कल भी 52 लाख से अधिक घरों को एलपीजी सिलेंडर्स की सप्लाई की गई है। बुकिंग पहले से अब कम हुई है, लगभग 44 से 45 लाख के करीब प्रति रोज बुकिंग हो रही है। और जो हमारा डीएसी या डिलीवरी ऑथेंटिकेशन कोड है उसके साथ लगभग 94% डिलीवरी की जा रही है। इसका महत्व ये है कि इससे डायवर्जन को रोकने में काफी मदद मिल रही है। कमर्शियल एलपीजी 70% पर है और अप्रैल के महीने में अब तक 1,40,000 टन से अधिक कमर्शियल एलपीजी की सेल हुई है और ये सेल मुख्यतः रेस्टोरेंट, ढाबा, होटल और कुछ लेबर इंटेंसिव इंडस्ट्रीज जैसे स्टील, ऑटोमोबाइल, टेक्सटाइल, डाई, केमिकल, प्लास्टिक्स, पैकेजिंग, एग्रीकल्चर एटसेट्रा को की गई है।
So, Professor Mishra, moving ahead, we heard what the government is doing to ensure that the energy supply remains uninterrupted in India. How do you see, what are the Indian plans to mitigate this problem which has arose out of this conflict?
Well, first thing is very clear that India has shown remarkable resilience in dealing with this unforeseen energy crisis. This is certainly something that no country would have thought about. And in that context, I think India has done pretty well. Now, so far as the strategy is concerned to deal with this crisis and to mitigate its impact, I think there are, to my mind, at least four important pillars exist there. One, of course, is to source as much energy supply as possible from West Asia, from the Strait of Hormuz, and peacefully. And India has been very successful in that. Barring one incident, India, of course, registered its protest. I think the ship movement is more or less okay. Even though the numbers have gone down, it has been done safely and securely. That is number one. Second, looking for alternative sources, and India is working on that front as well, to work and to partner with other countries, other regions, and secure these supplies. Third, I think even though the requirements are not fully, making sure that essential sectors or sectors that cater to the wider population is also something that has been maintained. So domestically, I think the initiative, for instance, providing these 5 kilo cylinders to migrant workers, to students, and now to dhabas and restaurants, is something that caters to the needs of common people. And that, of course, has led to this easing of pressure on people. Fourth, perhaps in times to come, I think other sources would include coal-fired energy supplies and solar energy. Japan is one country that has already increased the number of their coal-fired energy supplies, and this is a trend that is emerging in other countries as well. Australia is trying to do the same. So perhaps on the Indian side, coal, of course, has been a prominent source, and the focus on these kind of sources, of course, will increase. Solar energy is another important contributor to India's energy security, and that, of course, can also be increased in times to come. Already, solar contribution is very strong, and so is wind energy, especially in coastal areas, in areas which have greater coverage, both in terms of wind and solar energy. The government is working on that, and I think that is a welcome move. Crisis will get not resolved, at least things will straighten out in 1 or 2 weeks.
Professor Mishra, as you mentioned, we also had a weekly media briefing by the Ministry of External Affairs today, and the MEA spokesperson, Mr. Randhir Jaiswal, informed that 10 Indian ships have already exited the Strait of Hormuz safely and 14 Indian ships are still in the Persian Gulf. So before we progress any further, let's first listen to his words.
We have 10 Indian ships which have exited Strait of Hormuz safely in the last few weeks. We have 14 Indian ships which are still in the Persian Gulf.
Professor Mishra, now moving ahead, we also saw that the White House gave a statement and said that there is no fixed timeline for the war to end. So, in your opinion, how is this whole situation guided by uncertainty? How do you see this conflict moving ahead in the coming weeks? Because you mentioned that in next 1 or 2 weeks, we can see some positive outcome. What is your opinion on this?
Well, one of the surprising and major outcomes so far of this conflict is that Iran they have been able to have some tactical gains out of this situation, which America was not foreseeing. Now, considering Trump's flippant foreign policy approach and his inconsistencies, overall an incoherent approach of America in the Iran crisis tells us very clearly that perhaps America wants to give a signal to the international community that they have won the war. Even if these countries only arrive at a ceasefire solution, America wants to give a signal. And that is why these conflicting, contradictory statements coming from Trump and the U.S. administration, and also extending the ceasefire, but at the same time threatening Iran. So these mixed signals, this passive-aggressive messages coming from Trump are basically a sign of anxiety in the U.S. administration. Iran has been able to establish their, even though limited, their superiority in this conflict. That is something that Americans do not like, and they would not want it to be seen that way. And therefore, these contradictory statements coming. But one point is very clear, that without Iran coming on board to the negotiating table and agreeing to the ceasefire agenda points, a lasting solution or even a long-term ceasefire is not possible. And that will happen only when and only if Iranian concerns are addressed, which also including Lebanon in the ceasefire. And this super blockade or counter blockade of Strait of Hormuz by the Americans will also have to go away. Now, whether America is in a position to accept these terms and conditions is something that only time will tell. But so far, it is very clear that America is not very comfortable following agreeing to all the agenda points that Iran has put forth. And that is where I think the real trouble is.
Professor Mishra, also, since you have mentioned Lebanon a couple of times, and I would like to circle back to that point, for the benefit of our listeners, could you also give a brief background of the conflict between Israel and Lebanon? Because the conflict which had started 55 days ago was between Iran, Israel, and US was a party to it. But Lebanon is also now involved in the conflict. So could you give a very brief background to this?
Lebanon and Israel have not been at good terms since 1948. For all practical purposes, they have not been at talking terms. They do not recognize each other. The people of Israel are not allowed to enter Lebanon and vice versa. And now from 1982 on, so Israel at one point attacked and invaded Lebanon, and they controlled Beirut also for some time, and that was 1982. Since then, as a counterforce, as a response to this Israeli invasion of Lebanon, Hezbollah forces emerged. Now, Hezbollah has been supported by Iran, and these are Hezbollah literally means people of God, and they are the ones who are bound by a mission to counter Israel. So for Israel to accept Lebanon without decapitating or without eliminating Hezbollah is something that is unacceptable. Israel wants Hezbollah to be eliminated from Lebanon, and that is a kind of a long-term objective that they have in mind. Considering the current conflict, I don't think Hezbollah or Lebanon can be kept away from the ceasefire. Status quo ante has to be maintained here. Of course, the military conflict between the two sides is something that's kind of considered, and both the parties can arrive at a solution where they decide that they will not use force against each other. But Hezbollah's rise and Hezbollah's credibility in Lebanon, particularly in South Lebanon, is quite strong. And to eliminate it politically or militarily is very difficult for Israel. It will lead to a stronger long-term war between Lebanon and Israel, if Israel is working towards that goal. So this therefore becomes kind of a triangle of conflict, with US as an external power, but Israel on one side and Iran and Hezbollah on the other. And that makes things very difficult for all the parties. Plus, Iran will not accept anything that affects the current situation in Lebanon or the position that Hezbollah holds, and therefore will not accept to any ceasefire agreement that does not include them, while Israel wants exactly the opposite. So I believe if a ceasefire has to be negotiated and they have to come to an agreement, then the middle path is the only way forward.
Professor Mishra, in the coming weeks, we are also very hopeful of a ceasefire, a peaceful negotiation to the conflict which has impacted not just Iran and Israel, but the entire region. Thank you so much for sparing your valuable time and giving us such insights on this very crucial subject. Listeners, you can listen to this program on our mobile app News on AIR and on our YouTube channel News on AIR Official. Thank you so much, Professor Mishra, for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Insights.